Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Joining us on the program is Dr. Anand Kumar. He's a Winnipeg intensive care physician and infectious diseases specialist. Let's talk about what's happening in the province of Manitoba. Dr. Kumar, thank you very much for taking the time. And how would you assess the situation in Manitoba at this time with the third wave of COVID? How bad is it?
Well, I think right now we're just moving into the third wave, so we're not too far off of our low point. We never when I say low point, I mean the lowest level of activity that we had after the last wave. We never recovered fully in terms of our ICU capacity. We still had around 30 people, in ICU from COVID-related complications, and we've had ballpark of 100 people in the hospital, but we're not too far increased from there yet, but we are seeing it.
When you look at what's happening in other provinces, and if you look one province to the east to Ontario, how worrisome is that to you in Manitoba?
Oh, I think that's incredibly worrisome, and it should be incredibly worrisome for everybody in Canada. You know, although Manitoba isn't there yet and some of the other provinces aren't there yet, we're all heading in the same direction unless we really intervene now.
So the intervention has to be vaccines, right? That's our first line of defense?
Well, I think that's your long-term line of defense, to be perfectly honest. You need to really ramp up vaccination to their maximum, but that's limited by how much vaccine we have. We didn't obviously do a great job in obtaining a lot of vaccine product early on. We're going to have much more in the next few months, but we don't have a lot of vaccine relative to the needs, right now and in the last few months. But actually, what I'm talking about is the strategy we use to control COVID-19. We've had a strategy where we just try to avoid overloading, the healthcare system capacity. The problem is that that's a really difficult thing to fine-tune. So, what we do is we start putting in restrictions when we start threatening capacity. That means that you always have a fairly high level of disease activity in the community. There are other ways to do it, such as what the Atlantic provinces did.
With the Atlantic provinces bubble, right? That's what you're talking
Sorry?
About. The Atlantic provinces bubble?
Yeah. They used essentially what we'd call a COVID zero strategy. They said that, rather than having these intermittent shutdowns and intermittently severely threatening the healthcare system, we're just going to keep COVID down to a bare minimum all the time, basically, to whatever we can push it down to. And that's been the successful strategy throughout the world. Now, it's a minority of countries that have the capability of doing that because you need very strong, frankly, gutsy leadership to do it. But places like Australia and New Zealand have done it very effectively. And in Canada, the example is the Atlantic provinces. They have mortality rates, like death rates and case rates, that are literally 1/15 of the numbers we're seeing adjusted for population anywhere else in Canada.
We're a year plus into battling the coronavirus. Are we further ahead than we were 6 months ago? And are you, as some doctors are, confident we'll be in a much better place as far as reducing the impact of COVID by the fall, here's the writer, if we continue with what we've done so far?
No, I'm not. I don't think we're learning as we go as well as we should. I think it's very hard to change horses in midstream for the political leadership, to say that, we use the wrong strategy kind of thing. So we seem to be having these recurrent waves of infection. We do the same thing each time, and we seem to expect a different result. And then vaccination is a great thing, don't get me wrong, but I still have in the back of my mind the possibility of further mutations.
Yeah.
The current mutations, the B1351 South African variant and the B1 variant that's exploded in British Columbia, both have a relative degree of resistance to becoming immune to immunity from the vaccine, basically. Now, they're still useful, don't get me wrong. They will prevent severe disease, but it certainly shows you that the virus is capable of mutating in a way that can make things very difficult for us. And you know, given the rest of the world, much of the rest of the world, especially the large populated areas like India, Brazil, et cetera, are seeing, you know, massive outbreaks. These aren't going to be the last mutations. There are likely more, and there are probably are more now that we just haven't recognized.
We have about a minute here. I gather you're not a fan of waiting 16 weeks between jabs.
Actually, quite the opposite. I am. The vaccines actually, you know, they measure immunity in somewhat different ways, but almost all of them achieve about 90% immunity with a single dose after 4 to 6 weeks, basically. So the best way to protect the population overall is to have time between the shots so more people can get vaccinated. So, yeah, I actually support that.
Yeah. So they have the Pfizer CEO saying a third vaccination may be necessary in a year.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's very likely that these variants will continue to mutate, and that this will become an endemic disease. That is to say, it's a disease that's going to basically be there for the long haul with annual mutations and boosters that are going to be needed. I think it's going to turn into something very much like influenza.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.